Amen. So thankful, so grateful. As the song says, my hallelujah belongs to you. My praise, my worship, my celebration. God, I celebrate you. My loyalty, it all belongs to God. You have to commit to something. Something has to be your God. And some, for some people, it's themselves. They're putting all their chips on themselves. I'm a lot smarter than that. I need help. I know that for sure. So I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. My hallelujah belongs, God, to you. My praise, I will appreciate, love, support, other things, but my praise, my worship only goes to God. I can appreciate a lot of things and thank God to be able to appreciate, to honor people, to honor things. But my worship, my praise belongs to God only. Nothing rises above that. So I love that song as that reminder is telling us that our praise belongs to God. Don't let anything else take your praise. Don't let anything steal your praise. Don't let events and circumstances and situations take your praise from God. As we learned in the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not things present, not things to come, not situations, not people. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So don't let anything separate your praise, separate you from praising God, because nothing can separate us from God. Amen. So let's jump into the announcements. Want to thank you for your giving. As the year comes to a close, just want to say God is faithful, and we just thank you and appreciate. We don't do games or tricks and gimmicks. We just do the Word of God, and we thank you for giving so we can keep getting the message out of Jesus Christ, a resurrected Savior, to a world that desperately is looking for answers. So thank you for your giving. If you're on your laptop, just go to southbayalc.com, go to the giving icon, and then give accordingly. If you're on your phone, go to southbayalc.com, go to three bars, and then go ahead and push the bar. You'll see giving, and then give accordingly. And if you're writing a check and you want to mail it in, you can make it out to SBALC or South Bay Abundant Life Church, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. Let me say that again. South Bay Abundant Life Church or SBALC, 3553 Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. I want to encourage you all to attend Bible study this Wednesday. We are in 1 Kings chapter 10, an incredible chapter in the book of 1 Kings and in the Bible. King Solomon is at the height of his leadership. He's at the height of his reign, and he's visited by the Queen of Sheba. It is an incredible encounter that he is going to have in 1 Kings chapter 10. You don't want to miss it. So many principles of life, so many principles of living that are relevant today that God is just having jump off the page into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirit as we're going through the book of 1 Kings. And as we've been going systematically and strategically, have been going through the Old Testament. It's very relevant for today and extremely powerful. So I want to encourage you all, 1 Kings chapter 10, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. You will be blessed by the Word of God, guaranteed. So hope you can join us. And then if you have any prayer needs, prayer requests, or praise reports, send an email. We'd love to pray for you. It's a privilege to pray, as we'll be talking about this morning. It's one of the most powerful tools that we have, but it's one of the least used tools that we use. So the power of prayer, the privilege of prayer. So email us life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com, and allow us the privilege of praying for you. New members class, make a note, new members class will be next Sunday. And for those of you that are participating in the new members, we'll send you out a text. We'll send you out the Zoom link for next Sunday. Originally, we had planned it for this Sunday, but it will be for next Sunday. If you're interested in new members or becoming a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church, then send an email and we'll include you in the link for next week, life@southbayalc.com. New members next Sunday, 2 p.m. to 3, just 1 hour, an hour that's a powerful hour that will touch your heart and change your life as you become a member of this particular body of believers. All right, well, let's jump into the Word. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the Word and let God work on our hearts and teach us through the Word. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord. We're just grateful because of so many places we could be now and so many things we could be doing, God. We're into your Word this morning. We're seeking you. We're running to you and not running from you. So we're thankful for that, Lord, that we have the mind to run to you and want to get into your Word as opposed to run from you, Lord, and get into other things. So we're thankful, we're grateful, God. We just beg, we ask for your wisdom this morning as we go through the Word. Holy Spirit, teach us, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to receive the Word of God. Lord, we don't want information. We could get information from the news, Lord. We want revelation from your Word, which leads to transformation, to transform life, and then application so we can know how to use this and apply it to. How do we apply your Word to our life daily? God, we're begging for your wisdom and your guidance this morning. We thank you for it. Thank you that your Word says that your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, God. It illuminates the way. So we navigate daily through a dark and fallen and broken world. Your Word says that the Word is guaranteed by God. The Word of God is guaranteed by God. From the beginning, it's been guaranteed by you. Thank you for your promises of your Word, your guarantees of your Word. Lord, challenge us, change us, convict us, Lord, empower us to be ambassadors for Christ, to share the good news of the gospel with all that we encounter. Give us wisdom on how to share this Word. Even this morning, how do we share this with others? Give us the wisdom as you're sharing it with us. Give us the wisdom to share it with others. May we operate with the love and the kindness and the grace of God each and every day of our life, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Open your Bibles, and you should have your physical Bible. I know it's easy to just pull it up on the phone, but have your physical Bible so we're not distracted. Don't want to be distracted by a notification or an announcement or a text or a call. Let's get into the Word. Let's give God everything we have for this next, looks like it's about 45 minutes. Into the Word. So we've been on the series, the I Am Statements, and we're at the Good Shepherd, which God is a Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd is the true prophet of God, teaches the Word of God. The bad shepherd is a false prophet who's just out for themselves, could care less about the people. The Good Shepherd always cares about the people and serve the people. And the ultimate example is Jesus Christ. So within the series of the Good Shepherd, we're led to prayer and how a Good Shepherd prays. And we all are shepherds, whether it's on our job, whether it's in our family, we're leaders. Because the Word says we're ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives for Christ. So this applies to you. And look what Paul says. As we do a quick review, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And so here's the question, right? Each day that we wake up, here's the question we should ask ourselves. Okay, God, what do I do today, right? And then when we come together on Sundays each week, God, corporately, what shall we do, right? In a world that's changing daily, God, what do I do? And then Paul gives us the answer as he's speaking to Timothy. In verse 1, he says, I'm begging you, I'm challenging you, therefore, that first of all, underline first of all, the first thing that, what do I do? Well, the first thing that we do, the first thing that you do, the first thing we do corporately, the first thing you should do individually every day, is the request, supplications, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So God says every day, the first thing you should do is be making requests, praying, and standing in the gap for mankind. That's the first thing. For your family, for your friends, for your coworkers. Family, I'll say it again, prayer is the most powerful tool that we have, but it's the least practice tool that we use. We've underestimated prayer for too long, and now God is saying we got to get back to praying. And the first thing that we do is that we pray for everyone, and we give thanks, right? So it's an attitude of gratitude. We have to change our attitude. We have to pray and give thanks. Jesus even made it even more plain in Matthew 5:54, where he said that you are to love your enemies. Wow, this is a tough word because nobody wants to do this. I get it. It's not an easy word, family. Love your enemies, right? Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. These are Jesus' words, not mine. I told you, I'm gonna mix this in every week. Whatever message I'm preaching on, I'm mixing this in every week. Matthew 5:44. Let me start over again. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. It's no way out. The prayer is the answer. See, the more I pray, the less I complain. The more I pray, the less I worry. The more I pray, the more I give it to God and stop trying to manipulate things on my own. And family, we have underestimated prayer. And it's not just prayer alone, but it's the attitude of thanksgiving. So that's why Thanksgiving should be every day, because you're praying. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. So how do I pray for them and be thankful? Well, you're praying for them and you're thankful that you're being obedient to the word of God and you have the privilege to pray for someone, even if you don't like them or get along with them. Remember, God says we're to love unconditionally, just like he loves us. There's no conditions attached to God's love. There can be no conditions attached to how we love someone. We might not be buddy-buddy anyway, but I don't hate you. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you can get your life together, that God can touch your heart as God's touching my heart and giving me the ability to pray for you, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can pray for you, because it's not me. I can, in and of myself, know my flesh wouldn't allow me to do it, but the Spirit of God that lives within me allows me to pray even for my enemies. And definitely for my friends, and definitely for my loved ones. But not only pray, but be thankful, because God has touched my heart. God has saved me. God has delivered me. God has set me free. So I can pray and be thankful. Make a note in Philippians 4:6. He says, pray about everything. Stop worrying. Stop stressing. Stop being troubled. But pray about everything. And make requests with thanksgiving. So first he tells us that we are to pray for everyone and be thankful. Then in Philippians, the word tells us that we're to pray about everything and be thankful. So I'm praying for everyone and I'm thankful. I'm praying for every situation in my life, everything that's going on, and being thankful. So my prayer and thankfulness has nothing to do with my position, my condition, my situation, my circumstance, your situation, your circumstance, your praying and being thankful for everyone and everything has nothing to do with where you are and what you're going through. Remember, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And that's why we can pray and be thankful for everyone and all things that are going on right now. And that's just, we have to be obedient. So either I'm obedient to the word of God or I say, God, I'm not going to do it. And then that's why it, when it goes on in the word, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4:7. So when we're disobedient and we're not praying and we're not thankful, then we wonder why we don't have any peace. We don't have any rest. We can't sleep at night because we're in direct disobedience and contrary to the word of God. Family, we have to, this season that we're in the midst of the pandemic and everything that's going on, God is calling us to pray and take it seriously. Family, I can't stress that enough. As I try and just move on, God says, come back to prayer. Now is the time to have our spiritual antennas up and be praying and staying close to God. And let's not overcomplicate this. Family, find yourself a 5-minute worship song, maybe a 10-minute worship song, 5-6-minute worship song. Find your favorite scripture. You could even do, let's make it even simpler. Go to, where are we at? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, pray for all mankind with thanksgiving. So you got your worship song on, you're reading that scripture, and you're praying for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, every day. Don't overcomplicate it. Every day, let's keep it simple. Start there. Start with 5 minutes and then build up. Just like when you go work out, you don't just go and hit every machine in the gym, right? You start with one and you spend maybe 10 minutes there, then 15, and then you build up. Start here. God saying, we got to start. God saying, we got to start. Make a note, family. This is God's answer. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, very familiar passage of scripture. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's you and I, should humble themselves. Uh-oh, don't miss that. See, because pride won't let you pray. It wants you to talk about people, and God wants you to pray for people. For too long, we've been focused on people when we should be focused on prayer. So God says, if my people, which will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, not trying to figure out what somebody else is doing, but turn from our wicked ways. Then God said, then I will hear, forgive sins, and heal the land. And make a note, as long as mankind is on this earth, this land will need healing, and it only comes from God. Let me say it again. As long as mankind is on this earth, it will need some form of healing. And God says it only comes if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways. Then will God hear, forgive sins, and heal the land. And God knows this land today needs a lot of healing. We have to stop underestimating the power of prayer and run to God and follow the word of God, because as Psalms 119, 160 tells us, the word of God is guaranteed by God. And if God says this is the cure, it's not in a vaccine, it's not in a president, it's not in a new year, but it's in Jesus Christ, the answer, the solution, the way, the truth, the life, that's the cure. And it comes through Jesus Christ, and anything else is just exercise and frustration. God is saying we have to go for the permanent and not the temporary. Verse 2, he says, then he makes it specific. He tells us, in one, he tells us that we need to pray for everyone. Then in verse 2, he gets specific. For kings and for all that are in authority, our leadership, our prominent positions. And we already talked about it. That's parents, that's teachers, that's city officials, that's state officials, that's government officials, that's world leaders. He said, every day we should be praying for them and giving thanks for them, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And see, it's not, if it's not quiet and peaceable in your heart, then it's hard to live a quiet and peaceable life, because disobedience and obedience, they can't dwell together. One is going to take over. God didn't say that things would change overnight, but God says this is what we need to do daily. This is the answer daily. As Christians, as believers, as ambassadors for Christ, as disciples, God, what do I do? People are running around. Christians are running around trying to figure out, what do I do now? God's not going to change. The word doesn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God says, first of all, get back to prayer and being grateful. First of all. And then he makes it specific. He said, for kings and leaders and all those in authority, so we can live a quiet and peaceful life, first in your heart and then in your home, and then you take it to the world and you see things change. So either we operate in obedience or disobedience, and it just comes down to you trusting the word of God or not. It's a hard thing to do, family. I'm not saying this is easy, but this is what we practice every day. We should be practicing, Christians, and this is what we should be practicing every day. And you all know, those of you that play sport or musical instrument or art or dance or whatever your craft is, computers, whatever, and gaming, and whatever you practice, you get good at. And God's saying, I need you to practice prayer every day. You'll get good at it, and then you watch God work in your life. Leave the details to God. Stop trying to play Holy Spirit and manipulate things, but pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance. Let me say that again. Stop trying to play Holy Spirit and tell people what they should be doing. Tell your kids what they should be doing and all this kind of stuff, and tell your siblings and tell people how to live their life. God says, stop playing Holy Spirit. Trust me. You pray to the Holy Spirit that he guides you and he guides them. God said, pray and stop trying to play. That's not in our job description to play Holy Spirit. For me to try and tell my grown kids how to live their life. I'm praying for them. There comes a time when the preaching stops and the prayer starts. There comes a time when you got to pray. And this is what the word says. It says, first of all. And in Philippians 4:6, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Stop being troubled. Be troubled about nothing, but in everything. Pray for everything and give thanks. We have to follow the word of God. Look at verse 3. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior. Let me say that again. What's good and acceptable? Praying for everyone, praying for leadership. And see, we have to be more concerned with what's good and acceptable in the sight of God and not people. Because people will tell you, no, you don't need to pray for them. You know what they did to you. But see, we have to listen to the voice of God. We have to listen to the word of God. And stop listening to people who've spent no time with God. They spend zero time with God and trying to tell you how to and influence you on how to follow God. But they spend zero time with God. Look, I don't have to make this up. Let's take a look at first. Let's go back two books to first. What is it? First Thessalonians 5 and 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. The word of God is consistent. As you'll see, the word of God is consistent. Let me say it again. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. He says, rejoice evermore. This is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. He's saying, rejoice evermore in verse 16. And then look what he says. Pray without ceasing. Pray. Don't stop praying. Have an attitude of prayer. You're praying for your job, your friends, your family, your business, your ministry. You're praying for your life. You're praying for every aspect of life. You're praying for leadership and you're being grateful. You're praying for everything and you're being grateful. You're praying for mankind, for everyone, and you're being grateful. It's the word of God. It's the mandate of God. It's the command of God. And we've underestimated and underutilized the power of prayer. And we wonder why there's no peace in our heart, in our home, and in the world today. Because we've gotten caught up in the world and we're going tit for tat with the world. And that's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to pray. Look at verse 18. Isn't it amazing how in Philippians 4 and 6, prayer and thanksgiving goes together? And then we're in 1 Timothy 2 and 1, and prayer and thanksgiving goes together. Now we're in 1 Thessalonians. And look what goes in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Okay, let's put them together. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Verse 18, in everything, you know what everything means? Everything. That's exactly what it means. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God. It's the desire of God that we pray about everything. We stop complaining. We stop. We get off of people and get on to prayer. We stop pointing fingers and extend the hand of servanthood because we're praying about it. And we know that's the will of God, that we're being thankful. That married couple stop pointing fingers and start holding hands more often. This is the word of God, and we wonder why things don't change, but we don't want to humble ourselves, and we don't want to pray. We want to complain and point fingers. You know, I've told the congregation when we would meet physically, and they would say, hey, pastor, I want to talk to you about my spouse. We're having issues. And I would ask the husband or the wife, whichever one, are you praying for them every morning? Oh, no, pastor, I ain't got time for that. You know, well, I don't have time to waste time. Because if you're not praying and fasting, pastor, I want to talk to you about my son or my daughter and this. Are you praying and fasting for them every morning? No, well, pastor, I don't have time for that. You know, but they need to start acting. No, you need to line up with the word of God. You need to have the bottle of act right. Okay, you're the leader in the home. You're the one that needs to be praying and fasting and being grateful every day. And watch God change your heart, then change the home. And then you will see the change outside of the home. We want to take the shortcut. We want to take the easy route. I don't want to be disciplined. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to pray because I'm the leader in my house. They do what I say do, and that's the way it is. And God said, no, that's not the way it is. Jesus told him, if you want to be the greatest, then you have to become a servant. That means you serve. We serve God by serving others. I know it goes totally contrary to everything that we've been taught and what the world is teaching. The world teaches you it's all about you and you get yours. And you tell other people what to do where God says, no, you serve. Jesus Christ, he made it clear. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve, to die and to resurrect and to rescue and to save. We have to have a whole paradigm shift. Look, let's go to Luke. I'm not making this up. Let's go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. So God's calling us to step our game. And family, I'm telling you, it's just way too much going on in the world today that each and every day when you walk out of the house, you have to have prayed. Each and every day why would you want to go anywhere in as crazy and confusing as the world is today? Why would you want to go anywhere without talking to God first? Praying for wisdom, praying for guidance, praying for protection. Why would you? Why would you want to go anywhere without consulting God? So here's Luke. Did I say Luke 18 and verse 1? And here's Jesus. He spoke a parable, and we'll get into the parable another time. But I just want you to understand what it's not just Paul telling us to pray without ceasing. Here's Luke telling us to pray without ceasing. And he spoke a parable, chapter Luke 18 and 1. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that mankind, which includes men and women, should always pray. Make a note of that. Not sometimes, not every now and then, not just when you're in trouble. See, that's the problem. We want to pray and run to God when we're in trouble. And I get that. But what type of relationship is that? Right. If you only had a friend who calls you when they're in trouble and they need something, you know, the first time, OK, I'm helping you. But the 10th time, you're like, come on, what type of this is turning into a user relationship? A one-sided relationship. It's really no relationship at all, right? Because a relationship, there's give and there's take, and there's dialogue and communication, and there's relationship, and there's friendship within it. You only call me when you need something. That's not much of a friend. And when you have it going on, I don't see you for months, but then when you need something, God is saying, don't do me like that. If you wouldn't want someone to do you like that, why would you think God wants you to do him like that? Right? So he's saying, you pray always at all times. The message doesn't change. I don't care what's going on in society today. God's word doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. And God is saying, look, and especially family, I know I keep saying this, but I'm hoping you get it. You're getting it. In the time of uncertainty, as it is today, God's calling us to pray, to be intentional about prayer, to get engaged in prayer, to pause, to pray, to be grateful, to be thankful, and to seek and run to God. And then let God work out the details and let God speak to your heart through His word and through that small, still voice and through the worship song. Allow God to speak to your heart and your spirit. That's what God is calling us to do today. Let me finish this this verse because it's more to it. Luke 18:1, and he spoke a parable unto this end, that mankind should always pray. And that word always means at all times in the Greek. It means at all times that we should pray and not faint. Oh, make a note of that. So he said we should pray and not faint. We should pray and not lose hope. We should pray and not give up. It also, faint means that we should pray and not be lazy. We should pray and not be exhausted. We should pray and not be weary. We should pray and not give up on our God-given purpose, our God-given dreams. Pray and don't give up on your life. I don't care where you are right now. God says you need to pray, be thankful, and don't give up on God. Don't give up on your life, and don't give up on your God-given dreams. God has always used people. If you've read this word, God has used people who were in conditions like us, liars and thieves and adulterers and murderers, and changed their life around. So regardless of where you are, God is saying, pray, run to God, and don't give up on your life. Don't give up on God. Mankind has misrepresented God for a long time. Do not judge God based upon mankind. Judge God according to His word. That's why we get into the word, because man has misrepresented God almost on every level of society. But the word doesn't change. Facebook family, push that share button. We'll go deep, but not complicated, I promise. But some family and some friends, they're thinking that Thanksgiving is for one day. They're trying to figure out what to do with their life. And God's given us the solution, the answer, and the next steps is right here in the Word. And see, here's the other issue that we have. We have people who are somewhat immature, even as Christians. We are operating in the mature spirit, and we're saying that, you know what, I can't wait till 2020 is gone. You know, I can't wait till we get into a new year. Family, I just come to tell you this morning, that's immature. If you're thinking that a year is going to change your life, a different year is going to change your life, if you're thinking that a new president's going to change your life, if you're thinking that a vaccine is going to change your life, that's immature. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and the cure. God's outside of time. It's not like God is keeping track of the years. It's one big continuum to God. God is outside of time. Everything is progressing just the way God wants it to, and it's going to continue like that. It's not going to change from December 31 to January. It's not going to change. God's outside of that. God's will is going to be done. Pastor, what are you talking about? The word can say it better than I can. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. God's outside of time. A new year is not going to do anything. It might be new to us, but it's the same to God. Nothing's changed according to God. It's progressing just the way that God wants it to. We got to get on God's plan. We have to get on God's schedule. It's not about the Y-E-A-R. It's about Y-O-U. It's about you getting your life together. It's about you running to God. It's about you praying for everyone and being thankful. It's about you praying for everything and being thankful. It's about you praying and giving thanks because it's the will of God. It's about you praying at all times and not losing heart and not giving up and not falling apart, but trusting God. That's what it's about. It's not about the Y-E-A-R. It's about the Y-O-U. And if you don't change, the year is not going to do a thing for you. The year might change, but trust me, God doesn't change. And God's going to continue on this continuum according to His will is going to be done, right? And either you get with God's plan, or you'll be looking for a new year, you'll be looking for a new love, you'll be looking for a new job, you'll be looking for a new business. And those things are okay. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm not saying don't appreciate those things, but I'm saying you better get on God's plan as this thing unfolds, and so you're in position with God. And not being caught up in the world and stuff that you think is going to make you something when God has already made you an ambassador and a representative for Him. Appreciate things, honor people. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying you got to line up with God as you're doing it. Don't get caught up and miss what God is doing, thinking that a new year is going to change something. Got to make prayer a priority. Remember, the date's going to change, but God's not. So here we are. This is Peter. Peter's talking to the Jewish converts, and he's just telling them to be strong in the Lord, and he's giving them directions even as things change. So we pick up the conversation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He's saying, beloved. So underline beloved. Make a note of that. Put that in your notes. You're more than loved. You're beyond loved. Peter's saying, look, man, family of Christ, you're beyond love. Not only from me to you, but from God to you. He says, I'm not going to have you ignorant. I'm not going to have you in the dark for this one thing. You have to understand this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So you're trying to talk about, I can't wait till the year changed. It's not, God doesn't see it like that. Peter's saying, listen, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. If you think God is waiting for the year to change to do something in your life, you're sadly mistaken. Don't wait till the end of the year. Get in line with what God has for your life now. Finish the year strong with God. Don't say, well, when the new year comes. God doesn't see it like that. God sees everything all at the same time on one continuum. And I love this, family. Look at this. So you say, Pastor, okay, here we go. Make a note of this. Let's look at Peter's resume. Look, I love Peter. Because, you know, Peter was human. His humanness was always on display in the Word. And then when Christ resurrected, his life changed and it never turned around. He just excelled for God. But as he was walking with Christ, his humanness was always on display. It's no different than you and I. That's what I love about Peter. But let's look at Peter's resume. I wrote down some things. So when we're saying, why should I believe Peter? Number one, Peter talked with Christ. Peter spent 3 years with Christ. All right. 3 physical years with God, walking and talking and listening to God. So this is Peter's resume. Peter walked with Christ. Peter talked with Christ. Peter spent time with Christ that the other disciples didn't. Jesus would pull 3 disciples to the side, James, Peter, and John, and he would talk to them and share things with them, such as the transfiguration and other things that the other disciples wasn't privy to. So as Peter is writing this, make no mistake, Peter has spent time, quality time with Jesus physically, 3 years physically, and then Peter spent time with Christ after the resurrection, 40 days with Christ after the resurrection. So when Peter is telling us that 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years, it's because Peter looked into the timeless eyes of Christ. He looked into the timeless eyes of Christ and he saw that is no difference, a day or 1,000 years. He looked in the timeless eyes of Christ when he walked with him physically. And then he looked in the timeless eyes of Christ after Christ resurrected for those 40 days and told him everything pertaining to the kingdom of God and turned the world upside down. Peter looked in those eyes. He says, look, I'm telling you, I looked in God's eyes and 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years. It's no difference to God. Don't try and put God in a box. Don't try and limit God to the start of a new year according to man's calculations. Peter's saying, don't do it. I walked with this man and I'm telling you, 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years. Peter denied Christ. That's why I talked about his humanness. He denied Christ, but then his life was converted by Christ's resurrection and the Holy Spirit. And he went from denying Christ, and then he died for Christ. He died for Christ. Matter of fact, he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel it'd be worthy to be crucified like his Lord and Savior. So he said, crucify me upside down. And for those of us who've had the privilege to go to Rome and go to where Peter was buried at and just see all the results, all the Christians that are in Rome because Peter was there preaching the gospel, because Paul was there preaching the gospel. This is the physical and the circumstantial evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you have Christians all throughout the world, because when Jesus sent them out, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out and they talked about Christ. And they went from denying to dying for Christ. And you say, Pastor, people die all the time for stuff they believe in. Yeah, that's true. But if the resurrection didn't happen, then Peter would be dying for a lie. He would be crucified upside down knowing that the body was hid somewhere, knowing that Christ didn't resurrect. People do not die for a lie. You and I, we will not die for a lie. We won't do it. We grew up in certain neighborhoods, hung out with certain people. And at one time, maybe, yeah, we were into some things that we thought was life changing and was most important in our life. But when we found out, no, it's not what we thought it was. I'm not going to die for that. I'm not going to die for a lot. I mean, even our kids, you know, we love our kids. I don't mean to be, you know, facetious or anything, but when they're young and they're a baby and the car's coming, you know, I'd probably go out and get the kid and take the car hit. But if they're older and they're just doing their own thing and walking in the street when you tell them to get out, I'm not going to die for that. I'm not. Peter's not going to die for something that's not worth his life. He's not going to die for a lie. He's not going to die for disobedience. He's not going to die for an illusion. He's not going to die for a hoax or a joke or a mirage. He's not going to do that. Peter died for Christ. And you find hard to find somebody that would die for you and I, as Jesus Christ did. Christ died for us, but now he's calling us to live and to pray to him and for him, to others, and let them know about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Christ died for us. The least we could do is live. He don't need people dying for him. He needs people in 2020 and beyond. He needs people living for him and being ambassadors for Christ. Peter helped to establish the church. And so make this note, right? Peter spent quality time with Christ. Quality time. And here's a note. We have to stop listening to people who haven't spent any time with our Lord and Savior. Isn't that something? Peter's telling us through the word. He was an eyewitness. He was there. He's saying, listen, I'm telling you, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. And then somebody else come on our job or in our family or wherever, spent zero time with God, spent zero times in the scriptures, hasn't researched anything, and didn't want to influence us and tell us about God. We have to stop listening to people who spent zero time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let it go one ear and out the other. Take it with a grain of salt. Ask them, how much time have you spent with God, listening to God? Well, I don't do that. That thing is so full of errors. Show me one. They can't even show me. They can't show you. Show me the contradiction. Show me where it's been altered. And I'll show you the general theme that Jesus Christ came and died and saved us, rescued us. And either you accept it or reject it. But don't try and tell me it's filled with errors and you spend zero time with God. How much time have you spent in prayer and meditation through this word, listening to the voice of God, so you can give me a revelation from God? Don't just tell me what somebody told you. We have to listen to more people like Peter and Paul, David. They spent time with God. Rahab, Esther, Ruth, Naomi spent time with God. Read what they're saying about God, not with someone who's just doing their own thing, trying to tell you that God's not real. So here he says, let's finish this. Second Peter 3:8, he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Come on. Thank you, Lord. And then look what he says in verse 9. The Lord is not slack. The Lord is not lazy concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. If you want to know the heart of God, here's Peter, who spent 3 years physically with him, quiet time with Christ that the other disciples didn't. 40 days with Christ, 40 days with Christ, receiving all the things pertaining to the kingdom of God after his resurrection. And he's telling you, look, God's not like some men. God's not like that. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. God. And so when you say, make a note of this. When you say, well, what is Jesus doing on the right hand of God? He's praying. Praying for you and I, that we would come back to God, that we would repent, that we would humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways, and that we would run to God. That's what Jesus, he doesn't want anybody to perish. He didn't create hell and a Christless eternity for people. He created for the devil and his angels who got kicked out of heaven. He created for them. And now we're in the midst of this spiritual warfare where Satan is trying to say, well, I'm going to take more to hell with me than you take to heaven with you. And Jesus said, man, I don't want anybody to wind up with Satan in hell. It wasn't created for them. But because of sin and rebellion and disobedience, they're covered with sin. They can't stand in the presence of God. And then he gives us free will. Well, we have the option to choose God or choose Satan. It's no other family out there. Well, I'm going to just be in the middle. Well, you got to be, if you're not influenced by God, family, make a note. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. If you're not being influenced by God, then you're being influenced by Satan. And you say, I'm a good person. Okay, I give you that. You are a good person. But our works are like filthy rags. The soil, the sin was in the soil that we came from. The prototype was defective. So I'm a good person, but I'm still covered with sin. And my works are like filthy rags based on Isaiah 64 and 7. And so when we stand before God, it's just like we've been treading water in a sewer because that's what we were born in. We're filthy rags. We're stinking. And we're saying, God, I'm a good person. God says, you stink. You've never been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can. You chose that. And you say, well, God, when did I choose? He shows you the videotape of your life and people saying, hey, have you heard about Jesus Christ? You're saying, get out of my face. I'm good. I don't need that. I got my own relationship with God. I'm spiritual. I'm this. I'm that. And God said, hey, that's when you reject it right there. But God, I didn't know. Yes, you didn't want to know. And that's the problem. But look what the word says. God's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance, and we have a choice. God's not going to twist your arm. God already died for us and resurrected. He's already demonstrated his love. How do I know that God loves me? Because he's already demonstrated his love. He died on the cross to save us, and now we receive or reject it. Who else is going to die for you so you could be saved? Well, I need to know that God, he's already demonstrated it. The greatest love ever. We're always looking for the greatest love story, whether it's in Disney or the Hallmark Channel or the Lifetime. We're looking for it in the movies and the songs. And the greatest love has already been demonstrated and happened. God died for you so you could be saved from death, hell, sin, and the grave. This is just temporary. We're going to go into something that's timeless. And God is saying, don't take the temporary, take the timeless. And that's our choice. Either we choose that or we don't. We all know that 100 years from now, everyone right here, 100 years from now, except for if it's a baby watching, we're going to be gone. We're going to transition. And what we stand on, what we're counting on to save us, is what we're standing on now is what we're counting on to save us. Whether that's your own skill, your own talent, your own mind. And family, as we get older, family, it's just, this whole world is just interesting as you get older. And you see people who were sharp as tacks in their day. And as they get older, then their mind fades. And you see Alzheimer's and you see dementia and you see, man, but they were as sharp at their heyday, they were, because it fades away. And if you're basing your eternal security and your eternal future on your mind and your skill and your talent and your ability, what when you get older and those things are gone and they're fading away? And the thing is, you don't know who it's going to affect and who it's not going to affect. People you would never think it would affect. They were just too sharp. They were too clever. But now they're fading away. We're not going to even mention cancer that just shows up when it wants to show up, regardless of how healthy you are and how you've been exercising, it doesn't discriminate. And God is saying, you got to choose the timeless over the temporary. And if you're banking on yourself, then you haven't lived long enough to be mature enough to understand that this stuff changes and it fades away. And it's just a matter of time. Let me finish the scripture. So put a star by verse 9, because that's God's heart. If you want to know what Jesus Christ is praying about when he's interceding for us, if you want to know what is the heart of God about, God is not slack concerning his promise, underlying promise. That's God's guarantee. God says, I'm guaranteeing this. He's not like men that are promise breakers and truce breakers. But God is long-suffering. Underline, he's long-suffering. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's very patient toward us. God has been, somebody's, thank God. If you're not thankful for anything, thank God for his patience, that he didn't give up on us, that he didn't cast us to the side when we were out in the world doing our own thing. But God is very patient toward us. He's not willing. He doesn't desire that any should perish. He doesn't desire that any should be destroyed. He doesn't desire that any should go to hell. God is not trying to trick us. God is not pointing and laughing in our face and behind talking behind our back. That's not God. It's not how God operates. But he wants all, underline all, to turn around and come to him. That's the heart of God. Then Peter goes on to say in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's either when God is coming back or when we transition. It's going to come like a thief in the night. If you listen to the news and you hear about the accidents and saying it was a fatality this morning, that person didn't wake up or go to bed and say, I'm going to go drive so I can die tonight or this early this morning. It's going to come like a thief in the night. You got to make the choice now. You can't say, well, you know, when I get older, you might not make it to be older. This thing is not guaranteed. He said the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. Listen, it gets deeper. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are there and shall be burned up. Saying everything that we all hoard and put so much emphasis on, and enjoy your stuff, enjoy life while you have it. That's what it's here for. Be a blessing to others. But just know at some point that all this stuff is gone. Look what he says in verse 11. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. How does Peter know this? Because he spent 40 days with Christ after he resurrected, and Christ told him all the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told him about the new heaven and the new earth, saying, Peter, get out and preach my gospel, because all this stuff is going to be gone. Let them know this stuff is going to dissolve. It's going to be a new heaven and new earth. Don't put too much stock in the temporary. Put your stock and choose the timeless. This is why, look at Peter's resume and then look at the resume of somebody else who's trying to influence you and tell you that this word has been manipulated and it's not true. Look at Peter's resume. You get a chance, go visit his grave site, because he actually lived for Christ and he died for Christ over in Rome. It's worth it. Study the research of the results of the resurrection. Study them. You see, Peter is passionate about this. He's saying, seeing that all these things shall dissolve, all this stuff that we put so much stock in. Enjoy it, family. So enjoy people. Stop putting stuff over people. Serve people. Forget the stuff. Stop pointing fingers at people and start focusing on prayer. Relationship with God, relationship with others. The two most important commandments, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's about God. It's about relationships. It's about our neighbors. It's about relationships. Loving, praying relationships. Seeing that these, verse 11, and we'll go ahead and pick it up next week after this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? In all holiness, conversation, and godliness. Seeing as all this stuff is going to dissolve, what kind of person, how should you live, how should you conduct your life? And when you look at everything that you have, your beautiful home, knowing you're just holding it for somebody else. Because eventually you're going to transition and somebody's going to have it. But when you understand that all this stuff is going to dissolve, what kind of person should you be? Should you be hoarding? Should you be trying to get all you can at the expense of other people and at the expense of relationships? He said, just think about what type of person you should be. He says, think about it. It's a person and people versus a possession. It's integrity versus your intelligence. It's the character versus your charm. It's the temporary versus the timeless. What type of person should you be? You should be an ambassador for Christ, representing Christ, sharing love to all those and serving those that you come in contact with, praying for everyone every day with thanksgiving, praying for every situation and everything that goes in your life with thanksgiving and gratitude every day. Pray without ceasing, never stop having an attitude of prayer and with that thanksgiving, because that's the will of God. And then in Luke it says you pray for all things and don't give up on your life. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your God-given purpose. Pastor, what do we do in the midst of all this? First of all, God's calling us to pray for everyone and everything. And this is good and acceptable and pleasing to God. And we'll pick up the rest next week. Let us go ahead and pray. Speaking of prayer, let us go ahead right to God and pray. Lord, we thank you. We love you for your word, for the clarity, for the simplicity, for the power of your word, the practicality of your word, God, that calls us to pray, humble ourselves and pray, get rid of our pride and our ego and our arrogance and our jealousy and our envy and all the other foolishness that prevents us from praying, and make prayer a priority so we can hear the voice of God, so we can love, so we can serve, so we can give, so we can forgive, so we can truly live in peace and tranquility with ourselves because we're being obedient to you, then within our home because it changes the whole atmosphere of the home, and then we take it outside to society. God, not an easy message, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Deep but not complicated, God, you're calling us to pray. A new year changes nothing. A president's going to change nothing. A vaccine's not going to change anything. God is outside of time. We have to line up with God and God's plan. And God, we love you and we thank you. And we need you, God. We need you. We need the strength of God. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And all things are possible to him that believe. But God, we need you more than ever so we can humble ourselves and pray. Seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways, God. Cut out the foolishness, so that you can hear and you can forgive and you can heal the land. Thank you for your word. Bless your people to hear. God, thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the transformation that's taken place. And God, we're going to get out and we're going to turn this into application. We're going to apply it. And let us start right in our home, loving, serving, giving, praying. Stop focusing on people and focus more on prayer and let God work out the details. Thank you, Lord. Give us strength and give us your guidance and give us your wisdom. And let us seek your face daily through prayer and then have an attitude of gratitude all day and praying without ceasing, an attitude of prayer all day. God, how do I handle this? God, what do I say? God, how do I respond? God, how can I serve? God, how can I love? God, help me to be patient. God, help me to be kind. Praying all day in the name of Jesus. And we thank you in advance, Lord, because we've already overcome because you've overcome. And you are the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And we thank you that through the Holy Spirit, you reside in us. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was just start tuning in with the Facebook share and I need to change my life, but I just don't know how. Boy, the first step is receiving Christ. There's two things you can do. You can receive Jesus Christ, or you can reject Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ, then by default, you've already rejected Christ. So you receive Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. It's what we've all done. And then we start praying, and we find worship songs, and we find a ministry that's teaching the word, and then we start growing just like we do with anything else. But the difference is God is in your heart, and God is leading and guiding your life, and your life will never be the same when you sincerely accept, believe, and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. That's your first step. And then you start walking with God through prayer daily. If you've never done that, it's as simple as inviting Christ into your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life and help me to be the person that you created me to be. I receive you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Take over my life. Help me to be the person that you created me to be. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can have the power and the desire to live for you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for resurrecting on that third day. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and I'd love to send you some information, send an email to life@southbayalc.com. Send me an email, life@southbayalc.com. Give you certain scriptures and answer any questions you may have regarding the decision you made to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And family, again, if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, praise reports, please send them to life@southbayalc.com. We have a group of people, a team of people that's praying without ceasing all the time, including myself. And it's a privilege to pray for you. We're not just talking about this, but it's a privilege. God's calling all of us, and it's just time for it. As we can see, if you're taking note, the world is crumbling, it's falling apart, but that's what it's supposed to do. It's already been written in this word. It's already been written in this word, and either Jesus was God or he was guessing, but we know he was God. It's already been written in the word. So that's why we run to Christ and we walk with Christ, and then we share Christ as ambassadors for Christ. So just want to encourage you, just continue to pray, get into the word of God. And then on Wednesday nights, come, please stop in, go to southbayalc.com, southbayalc.com. You'll see the coordinates for Zoom. We only do Zoom on Wednesday nights. We don't do Facebook Live because it's more interactive on Wednesday nights, and we're doing questions, we're doing answers, we're doing thoughts, we're sharing the word of God, we're breaking the word of God down. And so it's Zoom only, but the coordinates are right there, southbayalc.com. You'll see the coordinates for our Wednesday night Bible study from 6:30 to 7:30. And I'm telling you, we're in 1 Kings chapter 10. It is amazing. It will blow you away. God's word is just that powerful. Just like today, it's just a powerful word. And we get the revelation and we pray for transformation and application so I can live this thing. And I want to thank you for your giving once again. It just allows us just to get this word out. Literally, we're touching lives all around the world through South Bay Abundant Life Church. And we thank you for your giving, which allows us to just get this word out. If all this stuff is going to dissolve anyway, we might as well get the word of Jesus Christ out, because that's what we've been called and commanded and mandated to do. Because everything else just dissolves at some point. It will dissolve. It'll be all gone. And that's the word of God, guaranteed by God from Peter, who spent physical time with Christ for 3 years, 40 days after he was resurrected. And Jesus is telling him all these things right before Jesus ascended up to heaven. And we know Jesus right now is on the right hand of the Father. And he's praying for us that we understand how much he loves us. And he doesn't want any to perish. And he wants us to get out and share the gospel, because all this is going to dissolve. It's the mandate from God. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for joining us this morning. Remember, those of you interested in new members, send me an email, life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. You'll get the Zoom coordinates. New members will be next Sunday from 2 to 3, and that's next Sunday, December 6th, from 2 to 3. Wow. Hey, make a note, next Sunday is Communion Sunday. So be prepared for that. Have your juice, your wine, your bread, your crackers. We will take communion next Sunday together as a body of believers. Wow, the first Sunday in December. And remember, God's outside of time. It's not like God is going through December and January. God's outside of time. It's no difference to God. And so we have to live our life connected to a God who's outside of time so we can always be following him and where he wants us to go. Well, thank you for hanging out with us today. We will pray and dismiss. I love you, Facebook family. I love you, Zoom family. I love you, South Bay Abundant Life Church family. I really do, and I thank you for spending this time with us today. Let's go out and live this. Remember, you're practicing prayer 5 minutes a day. Don't forget that, family. We got to step our game up. We got to stand in the gap, praying for peace, praying for guidance, praying for the will of God to be done, praying for our spouses, our kids, our siblings, our parents, our grandkids, our job, our business, our ministry, our coworkers, our boss. We're praying and giving thanks in everything. A paradigm shift, an attitude shift. Stop focusing on people. Focus on prayer, which is what God is calling us to do. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life. Thank you, Lord, and that more abundantly. To the only wise God, our Lord, our Savior, immortal, invisible, never changing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. God bless you, family. Love you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Lord willing, look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. And Lord willing, look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you.